Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man. Man, I love you on The Score, man. So awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Jarrett Payton. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out at Aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. How you doing?
Mully and Haw, what's going on, fellas? Always good after a Bears victory on Sunday. I'm happy over here.
Yeah, it was as complete a game as they've played this year. It might have been the best first half they've played in many a year. It was really the kind of thing where you watch that game and you thought, wow, could we get more games against the Panthers on the schedule? Just let's play them four or five times, maybe.
I'm down with that, though, Mully. I mean, the crazy part is we were talking last week, right? It's when you play at home, the Bears seem comfortable, and when you're going up against an inferior ball club, you got to take advantage of the opportunities and put the hurt on them, and that's what they did. I love the fact that this is a team that they were supposed to beat when you look at the schedule, and they went out and they took care of business. And like they were looking for a game like this. And moving forward, I think just back-to-back games, having this right. game and then traveling over to London, playing a Jags team that's got one win on the season. It's never easy crossing the pond and playing a football game, getting, you know, try to keep things as normal as possible, as Coach Flus was talking about. But this gives them an opportunity to win three straight. And that's a good sign and where this Bears team is right now. But it doesn't get easier as you move on.
DeAndre Swift went on the NFL Network last week before the game and talked about how the critics are people that he heard. He'd heard the doubts and he paid attention to them. Then he had another big game, Jarrett, obviously on Sunday. 21 touches, which is a lot, and he got going in the running game by getting going in the passing game. Where are you on DeAndre Swift, and what was the biggest reason, do you think, Sunday for the run game success?
I was one of those people at some point that was kind of maybe having question marks. Was he the fit for this offense? And I just think there was just so many issues offensive line wise where they were still trying to figure that out early in the season and not committing to the run, where now they found success. They found what he does well. I think everybody's kind of bought in, and I don't know, man, shouts out to Bill Murray and Matt Pryor for, you know, having their opportunities when called on to be able to come in and step in. And I always think about that, what Ryan Poles was talking about with the depth that they always had, you know, at every position. There was going to be battles. Well, these guys, I knew, and we talked about, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that when you got to give guys opportunities to come in and play, and they're finding ways to get him in space outside where he feels comfortable. But it's not only, like you said, Dave, not only just in the run game, but also in the pass game as well. He's one of these guys that in space is deadly, and we're seeing that. He can take a short pass and take it all the way down to the end zone, and so he's found his groove. But I think he heard people like myself that were questioning him a little bit, and anytime that happens, if you can get your offensive line on the same page, you can have success. And so I think them committing to the run and getting outside, getting him in some space has really gave them success, but also it's also, like we said, it helped out the pass game and what we're seeing. I'm getting accustomed now to 300-yard games from my quarterback here in Chicago. I don't want that to change. I don't want that to change anytime soon. I'm kind of liking over 300 yards passing back-to-back games. I'm here for that.
I got to tell you, I think as much as we appreciate how the backup linemen have been doing, I wonder what's going on with Nate Davis. Clearly doesn't have a future with this team, and it's already kind of sunk money But and they don't owe him any for next year. So I don't know what his future holds. It doesn't appear it will be here in Chicago. But no. It's just, am I the only one kind of annoyed that that didn't work?
No, you're not. You're not. I feel like I've said this before. He just, from the people that I talked to from Tennessee, man, there was a lot of conversations about him before he got here. I think it was because I posted a video of him in the run game, and people were, I was super excited to see him get off the ball. And I was like, holy cow, this is what we're getting to. But then those phone calls from people in my old neck of the woods in Tennessee, they questioned his willingness to want to practice, to be involved. And so I don't know. It's weird that I don't have all the access in the world, but I can make a couple of phone calls and know that. Not saying that you take people for for their word, but these are people that are close to that football team. And so those were the red flags that were popping up to me before he even got here. And lo and behold, that's been some of the issues that we've seen. And the reason why he's not on the field, man, they've shown how they feel about him. And that's not a good feeling, but it is what it is. You got to move on. And those are some of those bad decisions, because with Ryan Poles, he's done a really good job. But there always are going to be mistakes as a GM. There's going to be bad moves. And you got to figure out how to get past those. You would mark this one up as one of those bad moves.
Jared, Jaquan Brisker did not make the trip to London. Not yet, at least. He's staying behind because he's in concussion protocol. Third straight season that he's in concussion protocol. If you were to give Jaquan Brisker any advice or counsel from your perspective, what would it be right now as he starts the road back?
Dave, it'd be hard, man, because I was afraid of people like him. I mean, he's one of these guys that like Brandon Merriweather, who I played with at the University of Miami, who you guys saw in the NFL, man, was a headhunter. Like he did not care about his body at all. He was going to run as hard as he could. If you told him to run into a wall, he was going to do it. And it's hard to tell a young player that's what his game is built on, Dave, is being able to be effective and come down in the box in the run when you need him to make those big hits. It's hard. I don't know how you tone that down. He's wired that way. He's always been that way. And so that's what makes him so great. And over the last 2 weeks, I mean, that's what we've seen. Against the Rams, I mean, just being able to, all those tackles that he made, he's always around the football. I don't know how you taper that back or tone that down in someone that's how they've always played the game of football. But I mean, anytime that you tell someone to kind of tone it down a little bit, more than likely that's where the more serious injuries come in as well. So he only has one speed, and I've only seen him play at one speed. Try to take care of yourself as best as possible. But when you strap on that helmet and you go out there, play the position and play the way you do, the concussions are going to happen. They could happen. And so you just got to be able to find ways to be able to take care of yourself. The fact is, when I saw him get up and they showed him after that hit, he didn't look right to me. He did not look right to me. There was something looked off a little bit with him. And anytime that I jump out of my seat after seeing a hit, definitely need to check on not only the guy that looked like it was night for him, who just took some NyQuil. You also need to check on the guy making the hit as well.
We have breaking news on 670 The Score.
I just saw it.
Breaking news is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets. Download with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Robert Saleh fired by the Jets.
Wow. Five games in the Aaron Rodgers experience.
They'll have a new head coach Monday night.
What? How crazy. And he will report to Aaron Rodgers?
Apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron needs to figure it out, man. Aaron looking kind of old out there on the football field. See, that's what happens when you talk about owning the Bears. Bad things happen to you, man. Stop. Don't be saying that you own the Bears, man. Like, eventually it's going to come up and creep up and hurt you.
How long before the Jets hire Belichick stories
begin? I do like that. You know what, though? I was
By Monday?
I was thinking
by noon.
I just saw him with a picture with his girlfriend hanging out, so I don't know if he's ready to start coaching yet.
Don't bring that up.
I'm sorry.
Our audience now is already responding. She's 23, not 22, sir.
But thinking about, okay, we're talking about age here. Right. I thought about something last night as I was sitting at work, and I was thinking about how with the Hawks starting up their season in Utah and Connor Bedard going into year two, and how, I mean, year one for him was so successful. You bring home Rookie of the Year honors, and how much pressure is on him going into this season for to have more success for that Blackhawks squad. And then I think about Caleb going in his first year. It's just really cool. As I was sitting there, I was just thinking about the expectations on two of these young stars here in Chicago and what it means for them, for both their franchises that they're a part of, and how they're carrying a weight of the city on their shoulders, and how fun it's going to be. Hopefully we can watch those two grow over the years. Like there's something to say when I get it in this town, if you're a baseball fan, you're split either way, you know, but there's something to say about when the Blackhawks are good and when the Bears are good that I enjoy covering these teams and also watching as a fan. And I just super excited that we got a chance to watch these two young stars grow at the same time. Like we're kind of lucky. And I just wanted to bring that up. I don't know what you guys think.
I think it's a great point, Jarrett, because you look at, you know, in terms of the NFL, the context of the landscape, Caleb Williams could be a franchise quarterback in Chicago, could own the city. And if you are that guy for the Bears, you're going to have a national kind of impact. Connor Bedard, similarly, he is the best prospect to come into the league since maybe Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby, whatever comparison you want to make. And in both cases, they are guys that are at a very young age being relied upon at a very high level. And so, yeah, it's a good comparison. I think their personalities are different.
I think it's extraordinary that Bedard has a full season under his belt already.
Yeah.
And is,
yes.
4 years younger
it's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
He is phenomenal, but Dave, they might be different, but I think their work ethic and how they approach their craft, like they love the game. I think that's what makes them similar.
I agree with that. I just feel like Caleb Williams is more comfortable being a celebrity and being comfortable being a guy who is the center of everybody's attention than Connor Bedard naturally is. It's just his makeup. They're both extraordinary talents and have the same kind of work ethic, and you can see that. And they definitely make everybody around them better. I just think personality-wise is what I meant, Jarrett.
Okay, no, I get it. And also, too, look at the both franchises and organizations, right, where they've brought in veterans around these guys to help them succeed early on. And I think that's what we've also seen with both the Hawks and also the Bears, putting veteran guys around them to hopefully give them early on success because of, you know, what everybody, the expectations on both of them of what they could be in both of their respective sports.
How about Jarrett talking hockey?
Yeah, that's
dude. I'm telling you, dude. Listen, I just want the Hawks. My whole thing with the Hawks is figure out how to win on the road. And tonight, that's what we did not see this last season. I want it. It starts tonight against Utah. So we got to figure this thing out. The Utah Hockey Club. I'm looking forward to this.
That's great.
Yeah, I still want to call them the Coyotes just because if the Jazz can do it, why can't the Coyotes?
I wanted to call them the Yeti.
I know, that's a good...
I voted for the Yeti.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the brand.
No, the Utah Yeti. That was one of the choices.
My coffee mug is a Yeti.
Well, I could use some coffee.
Yeah, it's a good mug. Listen, they should have come up with a clever name as opposed to the Utah Hockey Club, but I'm not sure that they are full of humor. They might be fairly humorous out there. I don't know.
They gotta figure it out, man. Puck drops tonight. I'm excited.
Great stuff, Jarrett.
Jarrett, you're the best. Right, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Great Take catching care. Up. How about Robert Saleh?
Something must have happened. Aaron Rodgers must have put his foot down. Personality clash. You can't fire a coach 5 games into what looked like a week ago a playoff season for the Jets or playoff aspirations without something like that getting in the way. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, let me ask you something. If you're Bill Belichick, Would you want that job?
No,
right now?
No, no. That's separate.
I'm just saying.
I was half kidding.
I know you were half joking, but he has been mentioned there. I'm just wondering, if you're 72 years old, do you want to go someplace where you don't have a quarterback, where the guy is going to be, what is he, 63 next year? How's he going to stick
around
and
play? My sense is that he would want no part of that.
No.
My point was that with Robert Saleh, this is you're sabotaging the season.
Yes.
You are, if you change coaches and you cut bait right now,
yeah,
you're declaring this is over. And you might as well, you're invested in Aaron Rodgers for what? To what end? This is ridiculous. A terrible move by, unless something happened that we're unaware of.
Yeah.
Okay. But maybe something happened on the flight back from London. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, you do this at this stage of the season.
Poor Aaron was just trying to crawl to his seat. Did you see that?
You cannot fly the plane.
Of him crawling at the game.
I was I saw that. God. He looked old.
He did.
He looked old.
Jeez.
Oh, boy.
All right. We got John Heyman coming up. We'll talk to our baseball expert, Mully and Haw, on the Score.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend John Heyman. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Mully. How are you doing?
Living the dream. We are really enjoying ourselves. I made the announcement today just to get rid of all the confusion that both games today are on FS1 because it is difficult sometimes to find where the games are being broadcast. And maybe some elderly gentlemen have complained about not being able to figure out where the games are all the time. So we've made the announcement. We're covered, at least.
Thank you.
For
Thank
a day,
you.
Buddy.
That's yeah. huge. That's great. Yeah, I'm getting complaints. I'm fielding complaints from all of my friends who are all elderly at this point, so I get it. You know, it takes some work, but, you know, it's worth it. Once you get there, it's worth it. The games have been fantastic. The Mets games all been thrillers to this point, and it's amazing to see all four series tied 1-1. We've never had that before in the division series. So much parity this year. Nobody won 100, and it's playing out that way so far in the postseason.
Yeah, and I think it's really spectacular that all of these series have been turned on their head. In other words, you know, these are five-game series, so all of the road teams now have home field. I don't know that that is going to prevent anything or create anything. It could go right back to being, you know, a bunch of claptrap, but the noise early is that, hey, look at this. The advantage would seemingly go to the teams that have won on the road.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, one of the great things in baseball is that the home field isn't that big a deal, but it is something. It certainly was in Philadelphia. I could not hear myself think. I don't know, with the Yankees, it seemed kind of dead to me, but sometimes that's, and I was watching that one on TV because I'm covering the Mets series, but sometimes that's where the microphone is. I don't know. But the Yankees fans, I think, are jaded. And, you know, it's Philly. They're still excited. I will say that. And I expect a huge, huge cheers the Mets. Totally unexpected for them to be here in 1-1 in the playoffs at all. The Alonso home run, the Lindor home run. It's been amazing. I mean, it's been a great season of surprises. Just think about the Royals. They won 56 games last year.
Yeah.
Now they, you know, at least are tied with the Yankees in the division series. Amazing. Detroit, $18 million total active roster. That's all they make. I mean, I know Javier Baez, your old friend, makes more than that. He's not active for obvious reasons. The rest of their players are all kids, including Skubal. Best pitcher in the game. He's leading them now. And the Mets, I mean, you don't want, maybe you want to say they're the little Mets who could or whatever, but nobody expected them to be here. They were supposed to be in a transition year, and look at them now. I mean, they look like they've got a shot to win it all. All the teams have a shot. I think the Padres are the best team right now, but all eight of them have a chance.
Yeah, I got to tell you, John, I thought that when Scuba left the game, I thought, oh, my God, if they don't win this game, then they've blown it. You know, you've got to win when he's pitching. And it was still tied at that point. And then, lo and behold, you get the Kerry Carpenter home run against a guy that has not given up a lefty homer in, like, whatever the number was, a year and a half, 461 days, whatever it was. Kerry Carpenter with the 423, 25-foot, three-run homer in the ninth inning, and the Tigers end up winning the game, and it felt like it was a walk-off. It just felt – and Emmanuel Clase, that guy, like, it reminded me of Devin Williams. It was like seeing Pete Alonso hit a home run. It was like, those are guys that don't give up home runs, that don't lose late leads. You know, you feel like once you get that guy in, you're laughing, and it totally blows up last night. Amazing.
I mean, this has been the postseason of the bullpen blow-ups and star relievers. Devin Williams giving up that home run. Diaz has had a couple of issues, obviously, with the Mets. The Phillies bullpen, which had two all-stars among middle relievers, has been, frankly, terrible so far against the Mets. And Clase, I read that he never given up a three-run homer before in his career. I find that hard to believe, but I mean, wow. The guy was unhittable. He had one of the best seasons ever for a reliever. He'll be in the top five, I think, in the Cy Young, which never happens anymore. It's never a reliever, but I think he should be in the top five. He's been amazing and just a huge moment for the Detroit Tigers, who really, I'm a little biased because I'm covering the Mets, but I mean, the Tigers, to me, they're the best story. They were a seller at the deadline. They were giving up, right? I mean, they traded Flaherty. Yeah. Who is the number one pitcher for the number one team, at least by reputation in baseball, the Dodgers. They got Sweeney back, they needed a replacement for Baez, so that was important too. So he is playing now. So it wasn't a complete sale in terms of they got prospects back, but you don't trade your second best starter thinking you're going to be in the playoffs. So they didn't think it. Nobody thought it. And here they are. A.J. Hinch has done an amazing job. They've used the bullpen more than anybody in the second half. He's been incredible with that. That's hard to believe because Scooble is the best pitcher in baseball, but the other four guys are basically five-inning guys for the most part at this point. That team is amazing. I mean, I would defy most people to name five guys on that team.
Right, right.
18 million out of 26 people. That's, that's like $600,000, $700,000 a player. That's not MLB salaries. I mean, give them credit.
And the Royals winning yesterday off of poor Carlos Rodon. He gives up the Salvador Perez homer and then three more runs in that inning, and you're watching that game and it was incredible. The great Yankee team, the great hitting team, and they end up losing that game. And it wasn't Bobby Witt. He was striking out in that game. I made a great play in the game, don't get me wrong. But I think that as I was watching that thing, I was thinking to myself, thank you, Jerry Reinsdorf, because he got all these teams in the AL Central in the playoff.
You're right. I mean, certainly they were benefited. I mean, Detroit, certainly in Kansas City, they killed the White Sox all year. Not that other teams didn't, but first on Rodon, I mean, typical Rodon, struck out the side in the first inning on 10 pitches, a near immaculate inning, and, you know, he's all pumped up, acting like a wrestling star coming off, and gives up a home run and he falls to pieces. I mean, that does happen to him. That is something that has occurred more than once, where he gives up that home run and then he falls apart. And I get why they started him. They had some interesting choices. He won 16 games. He's been very solid, actually good in the second half, and I get it. I mean, the Yankees, I think, are playing this conservatively. I think Luis Gil was their best starter in the regular season. He's not getting a start, at least not in the first three. We shall see. Maybe in four, I don't know. I mean, they played this very conservatively. To me, first base, I know Rizzo is out now. He keeps breaking bones. I feel bad for the guy. To me, Rice hit 30 home runs in the minors, came up, had a three home run game in the majors. I mean, they started Cabrera and Birdie, who are, you know, utility players. Now, both good defensively at first base. They're playing this very conservatively. Verdugo's looked good so far. I mean, to me, it's conservative play. I get it. Dominguez looked iffy in the outfield, but, I mean, you know, he's a power threat. They're counting basically on Soto and Judge, and if they don't do it, they're going to be in trouble. Soto's been fine. I mean, obviously had three hits in that first game, made a good defensive play. Judge looks, again, like he's pressing, like Bobby Witt Jr., as you mentioned. Bobby Witt Jr., best all-around position player in baseball in terms of defense, base running, everything, but he looks like he is swinging at pitches that aren't even close to the strike zone. What is he, 0 for 9, 0 for 10 with four strikeouts? Judge got an infield hit, but he strikes out a ton. Still, the Yankees are not going to get it done this way. I think they felt like they could win in this. Let's go for our defense. You know, Judge and Soto are going to do it. And right now, the big money guys, Soto's been fine, but Judge and Cole have not done it so far for the Yankees.
So the National League goes tonight, and the late game is obviously the Padres-Dodgers. For those of us that have to get up early, it's going to be difficult to watch the entire thing.
Yep.
But, John, those two teams don't like each other. It seems like there's
like
bad
that.
Blood. I mean, what the heck's going on with my would-be White Sox team, for God's sake? They don't like the Dodgers. Manny Machado, who nearly signed in Chicago, is out there throwing a ball at the manager, and Dave Roberts is like, why is he mean to me? What is the bad blood?
Yeah, well, I mean, Machado had a bad half season in L.A., didn't behave that great, and they didn't like him very much. They made no effort to re-sign him. I mean, here they had traded for him, and they made zero effort. So they made clear what they thought of him, and it's obviously upsetting him. And, luckily he didn't hit Dave Roberts because he does have a great arm, and he does throw it hard, but he is very accurate. So I'm going to assume he was not trying to hit him. He was just trying to throw it near him. That's not good. I mean, I would suspend him, but I'm a hanging judge. So that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I love the fact that there's a lot of hatred out there. It's good for baseball in a way, a little bit over the top though. I mean, we talk about New York, Philly being tough, whatever. I mean, there was stuff being thrown out of the stands at poor Jurickson Profar, poor little Jurickson Profar. I mean, he was nearly in tears. I mean, you can't have that happen either. Right? It's ugly out there. I mean, people talk about the lack of passion. I don't see it. I'm glad there's passion. It's a little over the top. I'm sure Manny Machado will not get suspended. But to me, that's like fourth grade behavior or lower.
What did you think of Profar, not showing the ball after Mookie Betts did not hit a home run? That was pretty funny getting back at the fans in that way.
I guess I guess he egged them on a little bit. The way the dance backward. It was a bit much, but he still shouldn't have stuff being thrown at him. Yeah, it was an unbelievable catch, and I think everyone had to realize from his dance that he did catch the ball. I guess, but a little bit over the top. There's a lot of craziness going on out there. And I'm sorry you're not going to be able to see. I get it. When you get up at 1 in the morning, I feel bad for you. It's terrible.
I get up 2 hours before I realize I need to get up.
You're very lively in the morning. I give you credit.
Thank you,
I don't know how you do it.
It's manufactured through coffee. So help me out, John. Tonight, the first game will be the fun game to watch for those of us that have to get up. You got the Mets, Phillies. The Mets are extraordinary. They had one of the greatest weeks I've ever seen, and here they are now with a chance to really beat the better team. Let's be honest about it. But I'm just curious, what's your take on what to expect from this series now that it's shifted?
Yeah, fair. The Phillies are the better team, but I mean, anything can happen in a 1-3-5-7 game series. It's now a 3-game series. Mm-hmm. Going back to New York, it doesn't feel like the Phillies have the momentum, though they had an incredible win. All the Mets games have been thrilling. Even the loss, unbelievable. Dientos coming in and tying in his second two-run homer. I mean, some guys love the moments, and he certainly is that guy for the Mets right now. And, I mean, Lindor with a big home run, that might be the biggest home run in Mets history to get them in the playoffs in Atlanta, the first game of that doubleheader, game number 161. Then you had Pete Alonso off of Devin Williams. I mean, Devin Williams, Class A's probably the best reliever in baseball, but Devin Williams has got to be in the top three. He just got smoked by the Mets, and that became the biggest home run probably in Mets history. And then, Vientos hot. The Mets are a dangerous team. I'll say that. They're not as good. The Phillies, on paper, I think the Phillies are the best team. I mean, I really do. Yeah. They got Harper, they got Schwarber, they got Turner. You've got a solid player at every position. You have a very good 4-man rotation, all excellent pitchers. I mean, plus you have Wheeler starting game one. He's one of the top three pitchers in baseball right now. The best postseason pitcher ever by some metrics. You've got then Nola, Sanchez, and Suarez. So, I mean, the Phillies are the better team. But, at this point, there's no perfect team. Nobody won 100. The Phillies were 33-33 in the second half and 1-1, obviously, this year. They're 500 since the All-Star break. So, anything can happen, and right now things are happening pretty good for the Mets.
John, well, I'll let you go. Great catching up with you. I'm just curious, did you see the Tito to the Reds thing coming? Because we were talking
No.
the day before about the fired Cubs manager, perhaps David Ross winds
right,
up there.
Yes, David Ross, Schumacher, those were logical choices.
Right.
I think some people there wanted Barry Larkin, an all-time great shortstop, Hall of Famer, who could probably get the best out of L.A. De La Cruz, who might be the most talented position player in baseball. I mean, obviously nobody's more talented than Ohtani, who's also a pitcher, but L.A. De La Cruz, great, great player, but too many strikeouts, sloppy on defense. I thought Larkin made sense. Hey, you can't argue with Terry Francona, outstanding manager,
great.
One of the greatest of all time. He is a difference maker. There aren't many. I do have one recommendation for the White Sox. You tell me what you think, Mully, because they're going to need a shortcut, because it's going to take a while. As you look at things right now, it does not look good for the White Sox. I don't have to tell you that.
No.
But
no.
Here's my solution. Buck Showalter, give me a second here.
No.
Buck Showalter, you bring him in for a year, then you fire him. The year that he gets fired,
he always
the
team wins the World Series the next year. Buck Showalter, that is a brilliant idea, John. That's why you're the best in the business.
You pass that on to Jerry. Let him know, because, Diamondbacks, he got fired. Bob Brenly came in.
Yes.
They won the World Series the next year. Yankees. He got fired in 95. They brought in Joe Torre. Everyone was on them like Clueless Joe. They won the World Series. That very next year, White Sox can do it now. I'm not going to say they're going to win the World Series next year when they have Showalter as their manager. The following year, they will be champions.
Yeah, well, they won't lose 141 games, please God.
No, he does. He wouldn't
put up with it.
No, he would not. He would not. They would have a better first year. And even if he did well, I'm saying, just got to fire him. Even if they win this year, 41, even if he improves to 70, which I believe he could do it because he's great, then I have to fire him.
Oh, John, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
All right. Good talking to you, Mully.
God bless you, John. That is John Heyman. That's hysterical. It's totally true. Get the disciplinarian. It'll change everything. All right, we got Marshall and Dad next. Mully and Haw on the score.